talk about tax conformity. And so I'm going to bring you in here and just have you talk to us about really what is the main message that we're trying to get across to members right now regarding tax conformity.
Sure. Well, so tax conformity has been a long-standing issue for the society. We support it every year. We work for early passage every year. And with only one other exception that I can think of since I started in this role, it's been a pretty straightforward, non-controversial topic. But this year, it's got an very heightened sense of urgency, and it's very complicated, and that's really driven by the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act of 2017 and the fact that Virginia has not yet adopted conformity or really any other changes resulting from that act for 2018 tax year and beyond. So in the 2018 legislative session, the legislature only addressed 2017, and that's because that was what they needed to do in order for tax season to proceed at that time. But the act was too new. The impact of it was completely unknown at that point in time. And so it was premature for them to do anything with 2018 and beyond. So at the time, we thought that there was going to be a special session specifically to deal with tax reform and the changes that might be necessitated by the federal act. And that hasn't happened for a variety of reasons. And so that puts us back in our usual posture of having to enter a legislative session with the need for emergency legislation to retroactively apply tax changes to the tax year that we're getting ready to enter filing season for. And normally we can wait to be talking to legislators about this because it's routine. But this year, because it's not, we need to be talking to legislators now. And the society has been doing that. But one of the messages that we've heard loud and clear from the legislators themselves is they need to hear from their constituents that this is important and it's urgent and they can't afford to wait to make decisions about what we will or will not conform with for the 2018 year.
So why do you think that conformity will not pass early like it does every year?
So that gets kind of complicated, but the essence of it is that there's a sense by many of our decision makers in Virginia, so by that I mean the legislators and the governor's administration, that because of the impact of some of the federal changes, that passing conformity without doing some other policy reforms is going to create some challenges for them. And they're concerned about how this plays into their reelection campaigns. We have all 140 seats of the legislature up for reelection in 2019. And they're concerned about the revenue windfall that is projected at this point in time from the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act changes. And so they want to be able to make some policy decisions to go along with conformity to figure out how to use that money is the best way to put it. And there's a lot of variety on it. And so where this gets really challenging and urgent from our perspective is we've gotten really used to conformity being a standalone issue and that it passes as emergency legislation. And the rules for emergency legislation are different.
Different from what?
They're different from normal legislation that the legislature passes, right? So most legislation, a simple majority is all that it takes for it to pass. And then, of course, the governor has to approve it in order for it to take effect. And with emergency legislation, an 80% approval or affirmative vote is actually required in order for that to pass. And so our specific concern is that if you attach reforms to the conformity legislation, it's going to be very, very difficult, if not impossible, to reach that 80% threshold. The emergency aspect of this legislation is critical in terms of it applying to the 2018 filing season. So, or well, I guess the 2019 filing season for the 2018 tax year, because the only way for legislation to be immediately effective and retroactive is to do it via emergency. And so if we don't, if all they can get is a simple majority, then the earliest effective date of legislation would be July 1 of 2019, which of course is after the initial filing deadlines for the majority of tax returns in Virginia.
Okay. So what I'm hearing you say is that there seems to be a lot of interest from lawmakers to include tax reform policy decisions within the tax conformity bill. And that is causing challenges because it's unlikely it will get that 80% threshold if there are policy changes that not everyone agrees with.
Right.
If
that's correct.
If conformity is separate, everybody every year seems to agree that yes, we conform every year and it passes with 80%. But this year, because of the Jobs Act, there's a desire to have reform. So,
right.
I'm correct with that.
You are correct with that. Yes. Okay. So, and I think I would just add that one of the other things that we found is there is a lack of understanding of what tax conformity truly is. And so we spent a lot of time this year kind of figuring that out and how to explain it and even solidifying it for ourselves as we went through this process. And where we've landed, and I think that this is consistent with how conformity was initially handled, is that the conformity really is about the definitions of income in the federal tax code and then consequently adopting those same definitions into the state tax code. Mm-hmm. And it's really very critical in a state like Virginia, where we do conform as of a fixed date, meaning that, you know, definitions that are in place as of whatever date is put in the code, that we continue to maintain that, because our tax system here in Virginia is built on the federal tax system. So while there are some states that don't conform at all and they've developed their own tax code, Virginia is not one of those. Uh-huh. So we've built our tax code on top of the federal tax code, which means we need to stay in line with it as much as possible. And by not conforming, we increase the number of differences and number of adjustments that might need to be made because of those differences in definitions. Part of the reason that it's gotten so complicated and had a mixed message is that the federal tax changes were to definitions were accompanied by some other changes that affected tax rates and in some cases tax brackets and the amounts of certain deductions and exemptions or credits that could be taken. And Virginia does not conform directly to those things. So we're very focused on definitions, but Virginia has always taken the liberty of setting its own rates and brackets and exemption amounts and things like that. And so it's been very easy to get a mixed message over the years and start confusing the issues. And so this has really forced us to take that step back and figure out what is conformity? What does that truly mean? How do we need to implement it in Virginia, and what may need to accompany it or not in order to make things move forward?
Okay. So what are the consequences if conformity isn't a standalone bill and can't get that 80% affirmative so that it applies to 2018 early enough in tax season? So what happens if they don't pass a conformity bill?
Right. So if they don't pass the conformity bill, it really complicates the upcoming filing season in a few different ways. So if they don't pass it and they can make clear that they have no intention of passing it at any point in the year, that's actually a better scenario than late passage. So I will say that. I mean, of course, we would like to see conformity. It will greatly simplify things. But the most important thing is a decision be made. Because until Virginia makes a decision of yes or no to conformity, the tax software programs can't be updated because Virginia has this history of conforming. So nobody wants to start making these programming changes for where the differences currently exist because they might not continue to exist. So those updates haven't even started yet. And that's for the filing software, but that also impacts the systems that the tax department itself uses to process returns when they come in. So that updating hasn't happened yet. And so a delay in a decision means that it holds off all of that taking place, which is going to hold off the start of tax season. If Virginia doesn't conform and that's the decision that they make, or if they can't conform timely, then we have a situation where there's a very large number of adjustments that would be required to different types of returns. So it's about 20 adjustments for an individual return and 30 for business returns. And that gets really complicated when you think about the process of just preparing taxes. And for those that don't use a practitioner to prepare their taxes, that gets really messy. But even for practitioners, that gets messy. So as an example, the state of Minnesota has not conformed for 2018. That decision is already made, and they released their draft individual form not too long ago. And it's like 18 to 20 pages of adjustments to individual returns that have to be processed, because you can't just start with the federal adjusted gross income at that point. You have to add and subtract various different things back. And that just creates problems and errors. It adds a lot of time. And so potentially costly for taxpayers, depending on what their fee structure is with their practitioner.
So why aren't we pushing for a tax reform policy change? You know, we've had members who say, you know, you're talking about conformity, but we really need tax reform in Virginia. Why aren't we advocating for a reform?
So we actually went through a pretty comprehensive process to figure out how to handle this. And I would also say, I think we started this process with the hope and the idea that maybe we could land on a specific reform policy initiative that we could push for in conjunction with conformity. I think we always knew that conformity was going to be a priority, but we wanted to be able to offer a solution to our elected officials. And so starting practically with the end of last legislative session, so March of 2018, we started talking with our tax advisory committee about this. We started looking at information as it was coming out from the IRS, information from the state that was coming out related to their analysis of the impact of the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act in Virginia. As we went around the state in June to do our professional issues updates in person, we polled members during those events. We had surveys that we conducted and made available through various outlets on our website. And so we did a lot of work to gather member input on this issue. And what I can tell you is the only real consensus that we could reach was conformity. And then as far as the policy stuff went, there were so many different ideas on the table that there wasn't a clear consensus about what the best option was. And at that point, you know, the tax advisory committee, they took all the input that we received and started to kind of synthesize it and think about it. And we also started talking with Walter Stosch at that point in time, and with his role as a former legislator and his knowledge of the process. And also we looked at what happened in 1986 as a point for consideration as well. So when the Reagan tax cuts passed in 1986, how did Virginia respond to that? And so at any rate, it became very clear quickly that we couldn't offer a consensus educating members on the conformity issue, what it meant, why it was important, and then, you know, just pushing that message to legislators. And so I think that, you know, there's a lot of great ideas out there with respect to tax reform. But for us and our focus right now, we know what will happen and how difficult it'll make our members' lives and taxpayers' lives, quite frankly, if we don't get the conformity piece worked out. And so that's where we've put our focus.
Right. We have heard about conformity, you know, if we did do full conformity with the federal changes, that would be a tax increase on taxpayers here in Virginia. What have you learned about that?
So this is kind of an interesting one to answer because they don't quite go hand in hand. And by that, I mean, some Virginia taxpayers are going to experience an increase in their taxes due to Virginia, and that's going to happen with or without conformity. So the amount varies a little bit, whether we conform or not. And again, that has to do with definitional changes and how income is calculated, and things like that. If Virginia doesn't make adjustments to kind of address that on the back end through policy reforms. But if we do nothing and we just leave the tax code exactly where it is today and conformity doesn't happen, taxpayers are still going to be impacted and they're still going to owe more money potentially to the state. And so tying those two things so directly together is really, it can be effective messaging in political circles, it's not really reflective of the situation itself.
Well, how about the fact that Virginia is likely to get a windfall from just straight conforming?
Sure. Well, we've been talking about, Virginia is likely to get a windfall whether we conform or not.
Okay.
But that's where the debate about the policy changes really comes into play. And so we did offer in the white paper that we developed, we did offer an option. And it's very similar to what was done in 1986, which is to create a separate special fund to capture all of the additional revenue that is created by the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act. And I almost hate to use this word, but I don't have a better one to use, but really sequester that money, meaning that it's not part of the general fund. It doesn't get pulled into Virginia's budget. And then they would be charged with figuring out how to use that money. And by use that money, everything and anything is on the table. So it could mean taking, let's just say for the sake of argument, it's $300 million. They could take that $300 million and offer a credit for 2019 tax returns to all taxpayers, and they could give 100% of it back. Mm-hmm. They could use some of that money to beef up the rainy day funds. They could use it to address some of the issues on the state balance sheet. But creating a special fund like that gives the legislature and the administration some time and space to really think about the best way to utilize that additional money. Mm-hmm. And giving all or part of it back to taxpayers can absolutely and should be a part of that conversation. But they don't have to rush into making quick decisions. And there is a concern that if they push too hard too quickly on reform changes, that they could overcorrect and then put us in a difficult budget situation.
Right. Because we really don't know how much, you know, for certain what that amount will be.
We don't. And there's estimates, but no. They vary. And they're very dependent on taxpayer behavior and decision making. Mm-hmm. So the estimates come from an algorithm that was developed that isn't very forgiving in terms of, you know, what decision a taxpayer that is kind of on the bubble of, do they want to itemize or do they want to take the standard, for example, on the individual side. It makes a lot of assumptions, and those may not come to be in reality.
Okay. We do have a question. Is there one particular sticking point for conformity?
I mean, I think the sticking point is really related to the policy debate. So what we're hearing from legislators as we have talked to them, and we have had a lot of meetings with members of the legislature, particularly those in leadership positions, is that they understand what we're saying, and they intellectually understand the need to follow through and do conformity, that Virginia's tax code is built on the federal tax code, and that the more we have differences with that, the more complicated tax filing can be. But because of the way that our legislature is currently divided, we have these very narrow margins, two-seat majorities for Republicans in both our House and Senate. Finding consensus about what kind of policy decisions could be helpful is difficult, which we've mentioned before. But there is a general reluctance to just move forward with conformity if they don't have some kind of fail-safe in there to make sure that the policy reform happens. And what I don't think, I think they understand, but it's not really resonating with them, is that by delaying the decision on conformity, those who are ultimately going to be harmed the most are really the taxpayers. Because if we don't make a decision, it makes it very difficult to file. If you can't file, for any taxpayer who is due a substantial refund from the federal government, that's going to hold up their refunds. So it's going to hold up their cash in hand, and that's going to be a problem. And it also honestly has the potential to delay revenues coming into the state, which could cause budgetary shortfalls and problems funding government services that, some of which we're highly dependent on. And it goes to things like education and some of the hospital funding and things like that. So, we could grind a screeching halt to Virginia government, and that could be problematic as well. Shifting money into different fiscal years and things like that. So really, we just, we need to keep hounding home with our elected officials the importance of looking at this as two separate conversations.
I think the point about the special fund for any of this, the new revenues that come through, is an important point that I think is being lost somewhat in some of the conversation I've heard. And because it is taking the policy decision out of conformity, I think a lot of people feel like conforming is a policy decision because of that's money coming back to the state, in a, more than normal. But if we do set it aside and it's just really giving us time to make decisions and gain consensus, because your point also about the narrow margins of majority in our legislature now are so slim,
right,
that again, an 80% is highly unlikely.
It's highly unlikely on any issue,
right,
really, but certainly on something that has the potential to be contentious, like a tax policy conversation.
Okay. So we do have a lot of members who are work in the tax area. We have a lot of members in corporate who see what they have to do as far as taxes. And a lot of people have a lot of ideas about some different reforms. Mm-hmm. What can our members do if they do have thoughts about reform ideas?
So we actually just created a new policy community, a policy discussion community on Connect. In fact, it's accessible from that main community menu. So if you're a Connect user, the drop-down menu that says community is right along there with the open forum and the tax community, you'll now see one that says policy. So it's one that you will have to opt into. We're not subscribing anybody to it, but we would really love to hear your feedback and see your ideas there. And we do plan to share those with our policymakers here in Virginia. And I'll just kind of caveat that with, unless you ask us to, we're not going to share your name. So we will protect your anonymity. But we do think that that's going to be a good opportunity for our membership to weigh in without the society taking a specific position, but just help contribute to the idea generating process. And of course, you can always, always contact your own legislators directly with your ideas. And we've had several members who have done that and received feedback from their legislators. So They appreciate that. We don't have a lot of CPAs in our legislature here in Virginia, so we don't even have a lot of business folks right now. And so understanding of this issue, constituent input and involvement is really critical.
Okay. So you did make a comment about working with some legislators. What have you and our advocacy team done behind the scenes to really get these messages across?
Well, so the very first thing that we did when we issued our white paper back in September was we actually sent it out to all of the legislators, to the administration, and even some other business groups as well. And so that was the first step. But then from there, we looked at leadership in both the House and the Senate, particularly on the money committees, but also just overall leadership within the parties. And we reached out to those folks and requested time to meet with them. And almost all of them have accepted. And so some combination of myself, Patrick, and Walter have met with many legislators over the past several months to sit down and talk about our paper, explain conformity, explain our ask, give them an opportunity to ask us questions and whatnot. The other thing that we've done is we had started this actually over the summer before we even issued our paper. Is we met with Governor Northam in July, and part of that meeting was focused on tax reform and tax conformity. And we've been in ongoing communications with our Secretary of Finance, Aubrey Lane, who is a CPA and a member of the society as well. And so we're, you know, just kind of trying to be a conduit and an information resource on this issue. And so I think, you know, it's been effective in the sense that we have legislators who really now have a much better understanding of it. At this point, we're rapidly approaching the place where it is in their hands to make decisions. And so they've heard from us on your behalf as members and as constituents, but many of them have told us that the most impactful thing for them is going to be if they start hearing from a lot of their constituents about how important this is, because otherwise it is going to get bogged down in policy discussions.
And you mentioned the business community. You have also interacted with the chambers.
Yes.
And other groups.
Yes, we've also interacted with definitely the state chamber and some of the local chambers. We've been talking with Virginia Free, the Northern Virginia Technology Council has reached out, and a few isolated businesses as well. So some of the larger businesses have reached out to talk to us. They have some specific concerns about a few of the corporate tax items and wanted to just kind of get our perspective on that. And on those, basically what we've told them is, while we would love to see complete conformity, we understand that some of the federal changes do impact them very negatively. And so, you know, as Virginia has always done, there are certain things that we occasionally need to carve out. Mm-hmm. And if that is a need, we're certainly not going to get in the way of that. And in fact, we've offered up that one of our asks of the administration and the legislators is to strip out the existing deconforming provisions that are in the code at the moment. So the biggest one that I hear the most from members about is the bonus depreciation issue, which is would have a positive impact for taxpayers that are impacted by that if we were to be able to conform there. Okay. So that's a piece of the conversation as well.
So we have included that when we talk about 100% conformity is bringing those back into conformity.
Correct.
The bonus and the NOL carry back, those things.
Right.
All right. We've got another question here. Why would conformity create a windfall from the standard versus itemized deductions issue?
Okay. So that is... While there are many things that create a windfall, that is by far the biggest component of that conversation. And so it does create the biggest piece of the windfall because of the number of taxpayers that have previously itemized and are likely to switch to the standard deduction because it's more beneficial to them on their federal returns to do so. It's also probably the most talked about solution, and I would maybe put air quotes around that if you could see me in front of you. The solution to the problem we've heard from a lot of members and some legislators as well is, well, let's just allow individuals to itemize if on their state return, if that makes sense. And we do know from our conversations with the governor's office that that's a non-starter. He would veto any legislation that allows itemization. But the reason for that actually has very little to do with the financial side of it and the anticipated revenue that it creates. And it's more of a, it's a bit more nuanced of an issue than that. So, you know, part of the problem with allowing that means that you're expanding that option to taxpayers who maybe previously took the standard deduction because it still benefited them at the federal level to take the standard deduction before the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, but they could get a lower tax liability on their state return if they would be allowed to itemize there. So, allowing that could significantly undercut Virginia's existing revenue base from income taxes. So that's a piece of it because it's completely, it's impossible to predict what the outcome of that would be and what the fiscal impact of that change would be. It could more than eat up any additional revenue that would come in and eat well into the base of revenue that exists currently. The other piece to that is on the enforcement side, because right now, because we can form, our tax department can rely on the IRS audit process for a lot of the enforcement activities. And if we can't do that because we allow itemization, which would be an impact, Virginia doesn't have the staffing or the infrastructure in place, mm-hmm. and that would be very costly right. to set up. So, the governor is willing to talk about changing the standard deduction, changing rates, brackets, changing the filing threshold, increasing the personal exemption. There's a whole lot of things on the table for conversation. That is not one of them, mm-hmm. But it is the biggest culprit for the change. And it's also why we'll see a windfall, whether we conform or not, because that coupling of if you take the standard deduction on one item, or if you take the standard deduction on your federal, you must take it on your state. That is not even within the conformity statute. That's in a totally separate mm-hmm. section of the code as well. So I'll add that as, another piece to it. Really, this is kind of the essence of the recommendations that are in our white paper, which is we would like early and complete conformity for 2018. Another ask that we didn't even really talk about is that we've requested automatic penalty abatement. And that really is driven by the fact that we don't know what the rules are going to be. And we have been assured that this doesn't require a legislative fix, that the tax department can do this administratively, and they have the support of the Secretary of Finance and administration to be able to do that. We talked about the special fund, so setting aside any new revenue so that they can really assess what appropriate policy changes would be. And then to delay policy reforms to a January 1st of 2019 effective date. And that really is so that the rules aren't changing midstream. Mm-hmm. Having late applied rule changes to 2018 is just going to very much complicate things.
Right. I feel like some folks may feel like it's just kicking the decision down the road, but our real goal here is to create order throughout this next tax season. Create some just a framework that everyone, taxpayers, can work through and to work also this year while they have time on policy.
So this we've talked about as well. I mean, our strongest push at the moment is to separate conformity from reform. And I think we've explained why we feel that's necessary. But it really is about this emergency legislation and the rules around how that works, needing that 80% vote. And again, just to reiterate, segregating that new revenue until a reform decision is made, and segregating protects it from being spent in a way that isn't going to be in the best interest of Virginia taxpayers.
Okay. And we've talked about members getting involved.
Yes. So, you know, our ask is that you reach out to your legislators now. We have a new tool on our website called Voter Voice. So if you go to vscpa.com/votervoice, you'll see this box that says pass tax conformity for 2018. And if you click on that, it's going to take you to a message that you have the ability to customize. So if you have additional information or a relationship with a legislator that you want to highlight, or even if you have your own reform idea that you want to put in this message, it's just a really easy, straightforward way for you to be able to reach out to your legislators without even leaving your desk. So we would love to have you use that tool and give us your feedback on it as well.
And I know several members have already done that.
Yes.
So that's great.
And then kind of the other opportunity that we have is we do have CPA Assembly Week coming up again in January. It's going to run January 21st through 24th. That Tuesday of that week, so the 22nd, is the day that our board of directors goes and participates. So we don't have any openings that day, but the 21st, the 23rd, and the 24th, we're looking for members to go and visit with legislators. And while ordinarily conformity would probably have passed in committee by that point in session, I can just about guarantee you that this year it will not have happened. So this will be probably a very effective week to have CPAs at the General Assembly. But, and then of course, if that doesn't work for you, but you would rather do an in-person meeting or have a phone conversation with your legislator instead of using an online tool, we highly encourage that as well. And I'm happy to get on the phone or correspond with any member that wants some additional clarity or talking points to help get the message across.
Great.